All right. In the meeting now, everyone. It is officially 6 o'clock, so we can begin our community meeting. Albert, I'm an associate with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm working in BBH Laurel of the property. Want to let you know that the entirety of tonight's meeting is being recorded, and that recording will be available to you tomorrow, starting. By Jim Kraft with Elm Street Development. They are the parent company of BBH Laurel LLC, as I mentioned, the developer. And tonight we are here specifically to discuss the BBH Laurel project. I'll go through a brief presentation, and then we'll have a brief question and answer session where you can ask any questions or provide any comments regarding the project. Required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision 2-107 states that a community meeting must be held within the 6 month period prior to the submittal of a subdivision or preliminary plan. It is the developer's intent to submit a sketch plan for this project within the next few months. Information regarding the development and stormwater management design, as well as any modification requests, and the comments and provide and ask questions. First, I'll go over the existing conditions on the property shown here. The BBH Laurel site is located at the intersection of Whiskey Bottom Road, which is shown here at the page, and Rock Bridge Road here at the bottom of the page. And it is comprised of 5 total properties, all of which are shown on tax map 19. And those properties include parcel 168, lots 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then parcel 6. The entirety of the development encompasses 21.18 acres, and the BBH Laurel development is a privately properties are currently privately owned, and the entirety of the property was recently rezoned to R15. Property is not located within the critical area, and 4 of the properties with residential structures, if properties is essentially in the buffer. There are no stream buffers, wetlands, wetland buffers, or 100-year floodplain areas on the site. There are, the site is partially wooded. Most of the existing woodland is here towards the south and north ends of the property. The remainder of the site is even 7 specimen trees on or within the vicinity of the property, and they're shown here. It's a larger circle areas. There are no highly erodible soils. These features or lack of features were field verified. There are no historic resources were found on the property, and the property is not located within a county grid. There are no rare threatened or endangered species have been identified on the properties, and there are no steep slopes or logs on or in the vicinity. Verified via online resources.
To the proposed conditions, all of these structures are proposed to be demolished, and the site will be redeveloped with a total of 186 residential dwelling units, which will include 66 townhomes, which will be located here on the north end, and 120 2/2 units, which will be located here towards the south end of the site. House units will be fee simple on individual lots, and will include a mix of 20-foot wide and 22-foot wide rear-loaded garage units. They will be served by private roads and private alleys throughout. The private roads will be 24 feet wide within 26 foot wide rights of way, and the private alleys will be 20 feet wide within 22 foot wide rights of way. 2/2 units, which is a multi-family unit, you may be familiar, it's bottom 2 floors are 1 unit, the top 2 floors are a second unit.
Yeah.
Print. They're a multi-family residential use, and they will be on a single lot, so they'll be for sale condominium units. The two over two units will be served by drive aisles that range from 20 to 28 feet wide, and these units will also have rear-loaded garages. Access to the development will be from one single entrance here on the Brock Bridge Road that's located opposite the entrance into the development at Seagrass Lane. The 186 units require a total of 465 parking spaces, including 165 spaces for the townhouse unit. A total of 488 parking spaces are proposed within the development, including 188 spaces for 300 spaces for the two over two units. There are sidewalks proposed within the development to provide connectivity within the development, as well as to Brock Bridge Road. I'll touch a little bit later on about some of the active recreation areas that are proposed to the site. Those sidewalks provide connectivity to those spaces. The open space requirement for the project is 6.37 acres, which is equal to 30% of the total project site. And this plan shows over 11 acres of open space that will be provided in a dedicated open space lot that actually almost entirely brings the property. Active recreation totaling 1.34 acres, including 0.58 acres for the multifamily lot and 0.76 acres for the townhouse uses are required for this project. A grand total of 1.54 acres of active recreation area is provided, including 0.64 area, which is here, this strip of open space here. And 0.9 acres is being provided within the townhouse portion of the property, which is actually two sort of sections, located here at the center of the site, and then another larger area here. While the development has been focused predominantly in the part of the site that was previously developed and cleared, the proposed improvements will require some forest clearing. In addition, we will be clearing one specimen tree that is in poor condition that is also located more central on the site than the most part of the site. The other six specimen trees will remain intact. The project will be served by public water and sewer, which will be extended from existing mains within Brock Bridge Road. Proposed limit of disturbance for the property or for the project is approximately 13.6 acres. Stormwater management for the project will be in accordance with Anne Arundel County's stormwater management design criteria, which includes environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. This will include micro stormwater practices, including microbial retention facilities and bioswales, which are shallow depressions that handle runoff from small drainage areas between around half acre or 1 acre. So these practices, it's a little hard to read from the back, but there's small circle stormwater facilities located all throughout the development. These facilities are designed to capture surface runoff and allow that water to infiltrate through various layers of planting media, stone, and sand, and then infiltrate into the soil below. It is any water that does not infiltrate into the ground will be collected in the storm drain system and then discharged into one of two outfalls on the site. Peak management is required for this site, so there is a stormwater management detention pond that is proposed at the south side of the site, approximately two-thirds of the site, and then ultimately it will discharge over land to an existing culvert that goes beneath Whiskey Bottom Road. remaining one-third of the development area will discharge to towards the west side of the site that will ultimately fall into the railway. All of these stormwater facilities, these micro facilities, are designed to hold water for no more than 24 hours. School-aged children in the development will attend Mead High School, Middle School, and Maryland City Elementary School. Based on recently passed legislation, both the high school, Mead High School, and Mead Middle School are currently open for enrollment, and Maryland City School is closed for enrollment. This development will require three modification requests. The first modification request is to allow forest clearing of any kind. That's a relatively new requirement of the county. If you're clearing any forest, you have to request a modification, regardless of whether or not you need forest conservation requirements. So we'll have a request for forest clearing. We'll also have a modification request for removal of the specimen tree here, and mitigation for removal of that specimen tree will be addressed via either additional reforestation area on site, removal of invasive species on site, or payment of a fee in lieu. Our third modification request is to allow alternative road design standards in keeping with comparable townhome proposed private roads. Those design deviations include reduced minimum right-of-way width, reduced pavement width for alleys and roadways, relocation of sidewalks and planting strips outside of the rights-of-way, reduced horizontal curve radii, reduced spacing between driveways and intersections, and reduced road. All of these road modification requests are in keeping with previously approved. I didn't touch on this, but in terms of forest conservation, these darker shaded areas here and here are areas of existing forest that are projected to be reduced. And then the areas in the light gray, which you see kind of around, almost surrounding the site, there's a small gap there, are areas of proposed reforestation. So this concludes my explanation of the development proposal. I'd like to turn it over to Jim Kraft, see if he has anything he'd like to add, and then I will go over sort of the next steps at the end.
Great, thanks, Courtney. So my name is Jim Kraft. As Courtney mentioned, I work with a firm called Elm Street Development. We're a private residential real estate development firm based out of McLean, Virginia, but we've been doing work in Anne Arundel County for about 40 years. I personally have been doing development projects in Anne Arundel County for just about 20 years. Courtney basically walked through all the steps, the technical pieces of the subdivision application. Usually at this point, we open it up for general questions. So Courtney can handle technical questions. I can handle more, you know, project-related questions, timelines, schedules, things of that nature. So I just want to introduce myself, and with that, we can basically open up the floor to any Q&A that you all might have.
I
want to
start us off with the timeline and steps and all that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, basically, this is the very first step in the subdivision process. And as Courtney mentioned, to kick things off, you have to have a community meeting with everyone that lives or owns property within 300 feet of the property. And it's an informational meeting to share what we're doing and answer questions. The technical code is that you have 6 months to submit your application after this meeting. We don't usually wait that long, so we'll have this meeting, and then within the next 30, 60 days, we'll submit a plan. Without getting too deep in the weeds, the overall subdivision process in Anne Arundel County takes 30 to 36 months on average, so it's a lengthy process. There's numerous points where we'd be updating residents and neighbors. So this is the sketch plan application. So I sort of liken it to, you know, a football game, if you will. The first half is your sketch or preliminary plan, and the second half of the ball game is your final plan and more detailed preliminary planning. So those pieces, when you add them all up, and permitting at the end, take about 30 to 36 months. So this first step will likely take 10 to 12 months or so. And then when we move to final planning, more detailed engineering, we'll have another community meeting to update folks that have attended, or maybe folks who couldn't make it but still want to come. We'll let them know if anything's changed from our initial application and the timeline to get, you know, the project essentially approved. At this stage, this is our first cut at the plan. We'll often get feedback and comments from county staff, you know, whether we have to shift some roads or move some units or what have you. Typically, what you see in the very beginning isn't exactly what you see at the end. So that's a reason for having another round of community meetings about midway through the process, just to keep folks up to speed on how the project's progressing. So I guess let me just finish the timeline. I may answer a question you have. So that's to get it approved. Once it's approved, we would then work with any number of local or national builders to build the site out or sell the homes. So, you know, that build out could take anywhere from, you know, 12 to 24 months as well. So the entire process from start to finish is going to take 4 or 5 years, give or take. There's numerous conditions that play a factor in that time frame. It could go a little faster, it could go a little slower. But all the while, we'll have open dialogue with folks in the community so you know what's going on. Sorry?
So just coming off of what you were saying, my understanding is right now you don't have like exactly groundbreaking. Did you plan on like breaking ground 2027, or is everything still in early process?
Yeah, it'd be pretty ambitious for me to say I'm going to put a shovel ground on this date at this point because this is our initial application. Mm-hmm. But I would say, about that 30 to 36 month period is about the time it takes just to get the administrative approvals together. So you likely won't see any activity on the property before that time frame has elapsed. Have we gotten projects approved in 24 months? Sure. Some much longer, so I'm just sort of giving you an average. But again, we'll reconvene at the final plan stage so you'll have a sense of what the approval time is.
Before we open it up for additional questions, I just want to outline sort of this community process for you all. So after this meeting tonight, as I mentioned, the recording of the presentation and the question answers will be uploaded to the county's website, 14-day comment period. So if you have any questions that weren't addressed tonight or you think of something, after the comments, you can submit them through the community. Once that 14-day comment period ends, additional 14 days to finalize and send out meeting minutes of the next meeting, as well as any comments or questions you receive through that. Once those meeting minutes are sent out, that essentially concludes this process, this pre-submission community meeting, and then we able to submit that schedule. Don't have the website address here tonight, but if you want to make a comment or put a question on that community meeting website, search for Anne Arundel County Community Meeting. It will take you right to their website. Tonight's meeting will be under Laurel.
If
there are any questions about what we're proposing?
Yes, sir.
I guess, what is going on here now?
Mm-hmm.
The flow of traffic is very difficult.
Yeah, there's a couple answers to your question. I want to make sure I cover it entirely, but part of our application process requires that we conduct a traffic impact study, and what that does, and I'm going to oversimplify it, I'm not a traffic expert, but we engage a traffic consultant to perform the study, which is legally required when we submit a subdivision application. And it takes into account the traffic that would be generated from the subdivision, it analyzes the traffic that's in the area now, it looks at adjacent intersections and such, and it's really that computation, that study, will produce a recommendation. There's a scoring system. And that scoring system will recommend what road improvements are required for the project. So we haven't done all that work yet, but please know that's part of our process. And if an intersection improvement is required, that's something we'll have to do. If there's road widening or sidewalks, those sorts of improvements, that all gets flushed out through that traffic study portion of the project. Now, I will say that I would expect that the community just to the north of this property, Spring Creek, did some road widening in front of it. So I would expect something similar to what's there, and maybe some restriping, you know, to accommodate our access point. You know, we want to respect the safety of everyone around us and future residents, so that entrance point needs to be safe for everyone. You'd expect perhaps an acceleration or deceleration lane so folks can safely get on or off the road and, you know, enter.
Just try to
remember. I wish I could answer that.
Because the owner of the racetrack owns the land.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Just from reading the news, no ownership stake in the racetrack, but it sounds like the racetrack is going to host the Preakness for a couple years, so likely not many changes going on while that's...
Well, the Italians aren't inspiring them.
Okay. So like, nothing set in stone seems to be the common theme over there, but certainly that quadrant has always been sort of like ripe for some sort of redevelopment or activity. It's always been difficult to pin down exactly what's going to happen.
Because I was surprised, because I thought Amazon had the best deal for the land. Warehouses
for that. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, to be determined. You know, right now I think this whole area just went through regional planning, and that racetrack zoning stayed the same. So it's still W1. There's only a certain number of things you can do in W1. So until that changes, no.
So I would like to get a better understanding of the traffic impact survey or study that happens for that Rock Bridge Road. And I'm going to say including the Whiskey Bottom area as well. And if I'm not mistaken, this is Morris and Ritchie Associates. You all are the engineers also for a project that's off of Laureldale. Laureldale, not too far in the general vicinity.
We've worked on multiple projects.
Yeah. So my question is, with development is great when done correctly. Mm-hmm. The traffic impact survey. The survey can be conducted based on this particular development. Are there any other considerations for any future work, specifically at Morris and Ritchie, because you guys do have some, I think, stake in the general area. Are you all considering everything that is happening in the area, or are we just looking at this particular development as it relates to the traffic impact study?
So do I clarify to Morris and Ritchie is not the traffic engineer?
I understand.
And we are not
absolutely
traffic engineers.
That's what I'm trying to gain more information about the process in general.
My understanding is that the traffic consultant has to take into account all existing development in the area as well as any developments that have been submitted for review. So if it's, you know, somebody has an idea but it hasn't been submitted, they can't take that into consideration. But
it's actually a bit broader than what, I mean, where you're going with that is exactly how what you get to it. So Morris and Ritchie works on a few projects, but countywide there's many projects in the area, or there could be. So the technical part of the process is we have to submit what's called a scoping letter to the county,
mm-hmm.
and they give the traffic engineer a list of all active and future projects in the area that serves as the baseline for their traffic impact study. So I think
that's
the technical answer you might be looking
yep.
for
that's exactly
is it's not just a snapshot on this project, it's scoping for it.
The county is their GDP 2040 plan actually has all the way up through the church rezoned into medium density housing with R15, which is what this is.
Okay.
So
okay.
The plan is by 2040 to redevelop all of that, and so Rockford is going to be hammered with houses and traffic here in the next.
Oh, great! I just moved here 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And we got a
yeah. yeah.
That's
so,
all
like,
we count.
So, if you go to the Arundel County. On the county website, you can find that county development plan
yes.
to see what their plans are in terms of housing density, in terms of forestry,
yes.
in terms of timing. Church area has not been rezoned yet, but the plan is in the future. I have some plan to do
that, so. Okay, thank you, very helpful. Then my next question, sidewalks, Rock Ridge Road, are there any consideration for sidewalks? I know we're talking about traffic, but then we have foot traffic as well. We have children going to schools, bus stops, things like that.
Walking in the middle of Rock Ridge.
Yeah. Any idea about sidewalk?
So some of that would be addressed with some of these off-site improvements that Jim was mentioning. There's also a bus, BPTA, bus pedestrian transit assessment that would be associated with the project. So until those analyses have been completed for the county, we won't know for sure what is required. Right now, the development plan does not show sidewalks on Brockbridge Road, but again, that's somewhat because we don't know improvements like that might be required for the project.
Okay, so that isn't anything that you all can request within this particular proposal that's happening now. Is that something separate that happens? The sidewalk.
It basically gets addressed through the subdivision application process. So, that study, the traffic impact study, and the BPTA that Courtney mentioned, it takes basically all surrounding road and pedestrian networks into account and identifies where improvements are needed. So basically, it will determine whether sidewalks are required or optional. So until we go through the first sort of round of application with the county, we don't know if they are required or optional. But nevertheless, planned subdivisions, we like to provide as much safe pedestrian connectivity for our residents. So it's certainly something that we will consider and look at throughout this process. We're just this is like the very first cut of the plan, so we're not quite sure where all the sidewalks would go and how they would link together and where they're required.
Thank you. And just to bring it all together, the traffic and the sidewalks kind of go hand in hand with coming and going out of the two communities. Last question specifically for the Spring Creek community. I'm trying to get a sense for how much of the reforesting, or is the term is you?
Reforestation.
Yeah, reforestation.
No.
Thank you.
My questions.
How much of an impact can we expect, or are you all proposing, I should say?
So it depends a little bit where exactly you're talking about. So right now there is a strip of, well, there's woods between at the north end of the site.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the west end, it is a pretty wide area. The east side, there's very little existing forest on this property. So now I'm kind of jumping over here to the development proposal. The area right now, the area where the woods are the thinnest on the site, will likely be, there'll be some grading there. There might not, depending on where those tree trunks are actually located, there might be absolutely no impact to those trees because, again, they're largely off-site. I'm sorry?
Would this help you? This is our forest easement area surrounding Spring Creek.
This is all of our plot right through here.
I will say that there is a bog right here.
Yeah.
Because my dogs and I have almost fallen into it before while walking through the woods. So you said that you're...
But that exhibit is actually a really good example of...
If anybody who's interested in reforesting, I have the Spring Creek lands.
Yeah, what's orange on that screen is essentially what's in the light gray and dark gray equivalent on that plant. So
anything that's in that, those easements on the Spring Creek, those are being touched. I mean, that's off-site. That's a separate project.
I'm going to come over here because it's a little easier to see where the woods, the existing woodland starts to expand out. All this gray is forest that's being retained. That is adjacent to the forest that's on the adjacent subdivision. So there will be, this is 130 feet of forest that's being, just this part is 130 feet that's being retained. Additional forest here is being retained. The where areas here that are, and here that either might be this thin area, narrow area of wood that's on this site that may be removed is going to be removed. So it will initially be smaller plantings, it won't be in woodland, but it will be preserved, it'll be protected once it's planted. It can't be mowed, cut down. So areas where there aren't isn't a significant depth of existing woodland is proposed to be reforested. So that's gray area here, and down along this the frontage along Brockbridge Road.
So it sounds like the bond is on the Spring Creek side and won't be touched. Anything?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. There are no bonds identified on
your side.
Okay,
so that's good.
So I'm wondering about the water table and what that implies for the water table and what that's going to imply for like runoff and riparian zones and its connection into, because our neighborhood, so again, we're kind of on the Spring Creek side, and if it rains, as it does, you know, a lot, especially in storm season in September and everything, we get a lot of water and we don't always drain the best. And we have a lot of those little storm retention areas and we have that storm retention pond, but we still tend to sometimes have a lot of water accumulation in the neighborhoods. And so I'm wondering about the water table being higher than was indicated and what that will imply for runoff of this neighborhood. And especially, I mean, it sounds like you have it going the opposite direction from the rest of the neighborhoods, but I'm wondering about the bottom part of Fieldstone, they might not be impacted.
Yeah, so all of the runoff from the proposed development is going to be captured in storm drains and sent west.
Mm-hmm. You said those were only 24 hour.
The stormwater facilities that are proposed throughout the development are designed to hold water for no more than 24 hours. That any water that flows into the facility doesn't infiltrate there. We have overflow inlets that are proposed, so that water will go straight in the storm drain and out.
Yeah,
so,
in other words, with a gully washer, it's going to go out our proposed outfall anyway. But
right.
For 90% of storms, those devices are designed to retain water and percolate it back to the ground.
Right.
So, in no scenario is this site directing water to the worst.
In regards to groundwater, so at this point, again, we're very early in the stage in the development process. As part of the final development plan, we'll have to have a geotechnical analysis done on the site where they'll do soil borings and we'll have a what the groundwater condition is. At that point, some of these microbial retentions might turn into a different practice that will account for any groundwater that may be encountered, and depending on what depth that groundwater is. But that's all part of the stormwater design.
Can I ask what might seem like a weird out-of-left-field question about this? Are you accounting, developers in general, are you all accounting for changes in the environment? We're seeing many more of these 100-year storms happening, and so your standard water retention and offflow mechanisms aren't necessarily going to be able to handle capacity in 5, 10, 15 years.
So, I mean, the short answer is we design based on the requirements that the county set for us in the state. We, for this particular project, we've done an initial analysis of the existing outfalls and determined that detention is required. So there is a stormwater pond that will address some of those larger storms. I'm not an engineer, I'm a landscape architect, so I am not the one responsible for these designs, but I can say that, you know, they are, that is something that is considered as part of the county's stormwater.
Those requirements, they're not ahead of themselves, but they have been changing over time. So it's not a 20-year-old design code that we're designing to. I think, you know, maybe they're 5-10 years old, but then they get updated procedurally from time to time. So the county as a jurisdiction tries to do their best to stay ahead of those sorts of things. So we have to design it per the code, and that's what we follow. But the code is updated from time to time.
Road north of the church that we were speaking about earlier, it's one lane, it's twisty, it's back roads, it leads into Dorsey Loop, there's a very tight turn. It's congested up there sometimes even now as it leads to Route 32. So it's probably not your, you know, jurisdiction, but do you know if the county will do any assessment of the traffic needs going north of the church in order to make sure that it doesn't become a mess of accidents and congestion and road damage? Because even now they're doing occasional repairs on that road as needed. So I think with another traffic, that's air down very bad.
So, yeah, part of that traffic impact study we were talking about before, it's called a road rating analysis. It's one component of the study. It takes into account
how wide traffic lanes are, how much shoulder there is, how much, if there's trees close to the edge of pavement, site visibility, and it analyzes all those things. And it basically inputs all of the incremental traffic to see if the road gets a certain scale in the grading system. And based on that, we've had to widen roads, add shoulders, trim trees, certain things to implement and ensure that the roads are as safe as they can be. So hard to say at this point without that study being done what would be required, but it's important to note that the study doesn't just look at like the road that touches our site. It typically goes to at least the closest primary intersection. So if you're heading north on Brockbridge, you'd probably end up to Dorsey at your next northern intersection. Whereas here, obviously, the closest one is missing behind Brockbridge, but it does take a more macro view. It's not just looking at the river frontage.
Into my question, Thompson, the way that everyone's like, oh, we'll just trim trees. We have a very established and prevalent wildlife system in our little woodland, the tiny bit of woodland that's not been torn down here in the county. And we dense bat population. I don't know what state and federally protected as far as bats go and the other wildlife that we have here, but are any specialists going to be brought in to do any sort of surveys to establish what is protected, what's not, and how what we do have in our tiny little remaining portion of woodland that we have here, that we're trying to cling on to, how that is going to be protected when this development is just going to like take everything away from them?
So, first of all, the development's not going to take everything away from them.
Take
20 acres
of
that?
Yeah.
No, 20 acres is a,
yeah,
is a gross site size. So we have to preserve 30% of that in open space. That's
mm-hmm.
just the code requirement. And as Courtney mentioned in the beginning, we're exceeding that by quite a bit. But to answer your more specific question, of course, we have to survey all those things. So
yeah,
there's a number of components that we have to study. So the first would be what's called a forest stand delineation report, where you have to engage an environment consultant that basically surveys the trees and the tree canopies on the site to ensure that the trees are in good health and you're saving the appropriate and required number of trees on the site. So it's not just a mass clearing of woodland. That's not what's happening. And then from a sensitive species, I believe it's MDE has a procedure that you have to file an application for to make sure there's no endangered species on the property. And if there is, then you need to mitigate that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just get on the site and do what we like. There's numerous procedures that we need to follow to take those things into account.
But are we going to be able to kind of read reports or understand what and when has been done with regards to that? Or will it just be like, no, you know, they came, it was great, we're all good?
So what I was alluding to before or mentioning specifically about this process is that this is the first application, this is the first public meeting. Part of it is to listen, to hear concerns, questions, see what we can do, if there's anything that's reasonable that needs to be adjusted on our plans. But more importantly, mention that this is not the first and last time that we're getting together. We'll be getting together again at final plan. So you will have an update then as to what forest is saved and what the status of the project is then. So it's not quite as, it's more detailed and involved and it's set up to have public input. So this won't be the last time you'll be looking at the plan.
Are these plans publicly available?
It's on the website right now. So that community meeting notice, the link that Courtney was mentioning, if you just type in Anne Arundel County Community Meetings under the current meeting tab, that site plan is there,
okay,
as well as the letter that folks got if you got one in there.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, I do not believe the existing conditions plan is that's on it is. And then, like Jim mentioned, we have not actually formally submitted a proposal to the county, but once it has been submitted,
and so just to clarify, the only exit entry from that community is right there on Brockbridge. You all aren't proposing any to Whiskey Bottom?
Yeah, it's the when we look at setting up the community. The safest access and the way to do it is to align intersections. If you don't align intersections, then you end up with conflicting traffic patterns. which could be even, which could be dangerous. So, you know, rule of thumb is to line it up where you have most sight visibility, so you can look right and look left, and you have a good line on traffic. Whiskey Bottom sits down, and there's a really deep sort of culvert and low spot at the bottom, which would be difficult from a sight visibility perspective, and it's really close to that intersection. So that's why the sight axis show no problem.
Did the section maybe necessitate a traffic signal at some time?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question we get a lot. We can't, there's two part answer to the question. If we wanted to put a traffic light in, we just can't put one in. So what happens is you have to, as part of the study we've been talking about, there's a section of that report that drives out traffic volumes and intersection activity. We do actually, if you ever ride down the road, drive over the tubes that, you know, your tires click over. So you do traffic counts, intersection analysis, steps like that that will determine if you've got the warrants or the traffic volume for a signal. Because what the state and county doesn't want is a signal that doesn't handle enough traffic, because it becomes a liability issue for them. So all of that gets computed and reviewed in our traffic analysis.
Is that the only entrance and exit?
Yes.
And in the traffic study, does it take into consideration emergency evacuations from these communities that are close together that only have one exit on that one road? Is that part of the study, or is it solely just looking at vehicles and road widening?
Now, there's an emergency vehicle access plan that's part of the submission that needs to be reviewed and accepted by the county.
Is the land being purchased yet?
No, not yet.
The odds.
Oh.
It being purchased.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been super thrilled about that prospect previously.
I still sing songs.
Other questions? Okay. Or are we going to answer them?
Question kind of unrelated, just from my understanding, that this is rezoned to R15. What was it before?
R1. But it was the property amount that was always in R15. So it's basically an island of R1.
Thank
you. So Spring Creek, all R15 already.
I thought we were R10. Spring Creek is R10.
Okay, maybe that is R10.
Is there a reason that this was rezoned as R15?
They went from R1 to R10.
But this one's R15.
Correct.
So why has this one been R15 and not R10?
Because the proximity to the intersection and connectivity potentially to the racetrack and the Amtrak and the train station connection. So that's my understanding.
Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense if you're still only giving me one entrance off of the road. You can't get that many, you know, you can only get so many people in and out over to the racetrack or the Amtrak or wherever, given that one entrance point. So stacking more people upwards on top of it doesn't really get that part of it.
Okay.
Just curious about the logic.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to all that. We're just talking about this plan. So.
How many of the existing single-family dwellings off Brockbridge, Dorsey, are involved in being part of this development? All of them? There's like five single family properties, right?
There's five properties. My understanding is that only four of them have existing developers initially now. There's multiple structures on the lots.
So from the back of Dockland, do you know the approximate footage?
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
From the back of Brockbridge, do you know, from the back of Dockland, where the retaining wall is, do you know the approximate footage of the remaining woodland that's not going to be taken out?
I don't. That's in general. Is this the room? I'm not familiar with
So there's a retaining wall and then there's some woodland. Do you know the footage between that retaining wall and where the beginning of the development is going to stop?
Yeah,
And then there's woods. So I guess it depends. Like, I'm not familiar with where the retaining wall is.
Looks like there's a pond or a depression
yes.
here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so there looks, I mean, guesstimating 75, 80 feet of woods just to the property line of this property that will not change. And then, as Courtney mentioned, we'll be replanting and preserving trees along our entire property line. So buffer to buffer, you know, should be a fair amount of trees.
120 feet, once it's replanted. Yeah, it depends on this, the width of that existing easement varies.
Minimum.
A minimum of 35 feet.
Thank you.
We will still retain a bunch of forest that was part of the Spring Creek plot.
Yes, as I mentioned, here where the woods is the narrowest, most of these trees aren't actually on this property. They're on the Spring
yeah.
Creek subdivision property. And trees on off-site.
Mm-hmm.
We can't.
I found the deed that says that the trees actually have to stay with the property regardless of the owner. In perpetuity, based on the deed to the county.
Any other questions? So I didn't get a chance to talk to everybody as they came in, but if you have not already, please on the sign-in sheet. If you received a notice about tonight's meeting, you will receive a copy of the meeting minutes. But if you did not receive a copy of that notice, that is the only way your information on that sign-in sheet is the only way we can get you copies of the minutes. So please sign in.
Oh, I have one last question, and I'm sorry if you don't ask this. Will this new development be part of our homeowners association and be entitled to use our communal facilities?
I don't see how it could be.
Yeah.
The only way that happens is if a new community comes in next door and there's a previously established agreement or a proposed agreement to annex the HOAs together. But at this
so
point,
this community does not have a pool or any sort of facilities. It's just going to
be... So, right at this stage, what we do is set aside land for what's called active recreation area. So it's basically just a land plot. What we ultimately do is build our own amenities. So a site this size wouldn't warrant a pool, but it may have a handful of other amenities, whether it's dog parks or trails or playgrounds for kids. That all sort of gets hammered out at the final plan stage. But at this stage, we make sure that we have a land mass set aside for those types of amenities.
Awesome. So this guy's a pool, at what point is it decided these properties are annexed into the Fieldstone?
There was no thing about that, and I don't believe...
So you all don't get involved in the eventual homeowners...
As of today, there's no connection between any adjacent HOA and what will be an HOA here. So as of today, this has its own separate, or will have its own separate HOA.
Ah.
Oftentimes, communities find value in annexing together, or talking about that, but none of that is proposed at this point in time.
And just to be clear, both the existing HOA would have to agree to that. A community couldn't just decide to join
right.
an HOA.
Well,
that has to be, yeah, it would have to be ratified by that HOA and their board or however they're organized.
These residents aren't swimming in the neighbor's pool anytime soon.
Yeah, well, frankly, without sidewalks, it's real hard for Spring Creek to go swim in the pool, too.
Yes,
so.
Yeah,
so.
For us to enjoy.
Yeah. Unless there are any additional questions, I'll close the meeting. Well, thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to close the meeting now.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks.